mean champions this Saturday morning. First Saturday morning of the finals on ABC Local Radio. I am Jeff Richardson. Once more, good morning to Greg Champion.
Good morning, back.
To Bill Baxter.
Hello, everyone.
To Ian Cover.
Yes, hello there.
To Torch McGee.
Yeah, good morning to you too.
Now, we've got lots of Twitter and Facebook responses about coaches from the pre-composed and grown-up era. Mm. But before we do that, Greg's got a bit of mailbag.
Well, people are just writing and telling us their clubs in the big one. Julian Maloney, president of the Imperials in Mildura.
Yep.
They're in their 20th grand final in 29 years.
A lot of leagues are after their grand finals already, aren't they?
That's correct today. Yeah. Michael Kennedy, ex-Carlton player.
Yes, in fact, he was in the 1987 Premiership team alongside Stephen Kernahan and David Rye-Jones.
He's the IMA joint principal at both St Pat's Gordon and St Michael's Springbank.
Mm-hmm.
These two neighbouring towns play off in their grand final today. Enormous rivalry between these towns.
Is that Central Highlands, I think it is?
Yep. Yep. Tony Poehler writes to us from Dennington. Dennington's in the grand final today in the Warrnambool and District Football Netball League, trying to break a 27-year drought. Seniors and reserves, A-grade and A-grade reserve netball sides, all in the granny. They've only won three grannies. Oh, I shouldn't say granny, that's a little...
No.
All, they've won three flags from 15 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Kinglake. Ashley Gillen writes that Kinglake made the big one against Emerald today at Healesville Showgrounds. In 09, after the fires, Kinglake was AFL sponsored. This time, many local boys are playing. Go the Lakers.
Oh, well done to them. In fact, your mention there of that grand final in the Central Highlands between Gordon and Springbank. Of course, Gordon is the club where we did the OB a few years ago.
Yeah.
When they were down the bottom, and now they're in a grand final.
Just shows you, see, we turn up and they get better.
Yeah, turn them around, Torchy.
Mm.
So well done to Gordon, and good luck to both sides up there. And Michael Kennedy, yes, 87 Premiership player.
That's it for mailbag. Now we move to the electronic, and our question posed at the start of the program to be answered on social media, Facebook and Twitter, was in the light of the calm and composed coaches of the like of Adam Simpson, we wanted you to go back to a simpler time where coaches would go nuts and give us some examples. Billy, what have we got?
Thanks, Richo. Peter Ray has shared this. Speaking to a chippy at three-quarter time who was playing a dog of a game, "Get off the ground and wait for me in my office." The chippy, "You haven't got one, coach, then go and build me one." Peter was there at Sale and says it was the greatest Father's Day present ever. Great that you were there, Pete, and thanks for your contribution.
That is very funny.
Rooster?
Yes, I got one from Phil, who emailed us, "The Mount Pleasant Premiership coach during the home and aways versus Heathcote. Come on, fellas. They got fellas running around without any fellas on them. It's not as if they're big, tall fellas. They're short, fat fellas. So come on, fellas."
Yeah. Not enough fellas, is there, these days?
More fellas, please. Yeah. Let's see. Sam Thompson says, "It was amazing in my junior footy in Horsham in the mid-90s, the amount of things on a football field that could make our coach spew up."
I think that was a Terry Wallace favourite, too.
Yeah,
I got one from Chris, who shared with us sage advice from the coach of the Trinity College uni team in the mid-80s. "Backline, you're making mistakes. Backline, don't make mistakes."
Grant Nickel, "My dog could play better than half-used blokes, and I haven't got a dog."
One last one from me, from Wazza. Wazza was told by a basketball coach, "You play like an elephant, son. Basketball's not a game for elephants."
What? Adam Simpson could use that.
That's got a bit of the Alan Miller.
Yeah, that's good. Very good. Any more?
Yes, I've got this one from Wazza.
Wazza.
He was told by a basketball coach, "You play like an elephant. Basketball is not a game for elephants."
He just did that.
Oh, sorry, I was reading ahead. It was so good, I wanted to share it again. Well, all right then. Ian Cairns. Have we had him, Rooster?
No.
At halftime, our coach, Wally Fat Guts Freeman, said to our full forward, Top Weight, who wasn't having his best game and did question the coach's game plan, "Listen, son, can I borrow your brain? I'm building an idiot." A water bottle was thrown. Say no more.
Oh, dear me.
Yeah, it sounds like...
Just go back to the one in Horsham where the revelation that the number of things that can happen on a football field that could cause a coach to spew up.
Yeah. Of course,
there is never just spewing up. It is always fair dinkum spew up.
Yeah, really.
I'll finish off on Owen Hourigans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know that name.
Yeah, coaching against the OGs for the Scobbers in the 1994 Under-19 Grand Final.
St Kevin's versus Old Geelong, the Ogs, yeah. St Kevin's are actually undefeated in B grade into the Grand Final.
Yeah.
Pre-match in the rooms, my assistant coach Shark Attack came up with, they're going to be red hot. We have to be red hotter.
Well, that would have solved that problem.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you can have a look at those on the Could Have Been's Twitter feed or indeed on the 774 ABC Melbourne Facebook page. Mm. Plenty more besides. Chappie, did you do Dennington, by the way? And I have to check everything now since Billy...
I did do Dennington and also played at Dennington for a Warrnambool League medal one night.
So that's Dennington, the one that's coached by Darcy Lewis, son of Buffer?
Oh, I only just did the fact that they're in the... I didn't mention that part.
They're trying to break a 27-year drought.
I did mention that.
Well, while you're down that way, and if you're on the Facebook page, you can jump across to the Could Have Been's website, get to the Lighthouse Theatre if you want to come along and join us there. Lighthouse Theatre, Warrnambool, Tuesday night. The Could Have Been's will be live in concert.
And I once had a coach who, when he heard that a couple of players had been criticising him behind his back and he got wind of it, said to the whole team, I don't want to hear any more of that. Small walls have big ears.
Small walls have big ears. And the
bring it back.
The Denison netballers, they're in the grand final too. As to all netballers across the state playing their grand finals, good luck to you.
Well, they could come along on Tuesday night to the Lighthouse Theatre and bring the premiership trophies along and display them.
That'd be fun.
And if they don't, I'll fair dinkum spew up.
You with the Could Have Been champions on ABC local radio. As you mentioned before, Ian, a lot of grand finals being played this weekend in leagues up and down and far and wide. Mm. In the VWFL, Darebin and Diamond Creek are playing for the grand final in the ones.
Is this a clash of traditional rivals?
Of the VWFL. No, let's just say there's no love lost to it.
Oh, okay.
Calling the game on the wireless, there is an all-women match day calling team.
Okay.
And part of that team calling the game is Anna Harrington, who joins us online now. Welcome to the Could Have Beens, Anna.
Thanks for having me on boys.
Mm.
Good, Anna.
So you've done all your preparation for the call?
Absolutely. You've got to be ready to go. All you really need to know is... who the key players are, how the game's shaping up, and then that's only all you can do, really.
And who's calling with you? What's the panel?
So with me we've got Shiloh Curtis, who's involved in AFL Victoria with the youth girl system. She's a very experienced VWFL player in her own right, was a premiership captain.
Was she on the TV coverage of that Melbourne Footscray game?
Yeah, she was. I think she was doing special comments for that.
She's
very experienced. And then the other commentator is Joe Wooten, who's... the president of the Eastern Devils in the VWFL, and she was a past player in her own right, and she's got plenty of experience, I think 7 or 8 years of experience commentary, including VWFL and VAFA, so good team.
I think we spoke to Joe earlier on the show here.
Anna, how do you become a caller of women's footy? Is there a pathway or is it a happy accident?
I guess it's a little bit of both to an extent. There's a lot of hard work involved. I probably first had a go at commentating about 4 years ago, did a bit of boundary riding, VFL, and then worked into the Essendon District Footy League and did some commentating and some boundary riding there. And then I've done soccer as well, so I did some W League and State League, and then just during the week, actually, I got to become the first woman to be the main caller of a Socceroos match on SBS.
Oh, well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I guess with women's footy, it's just... You know, obviously it's the same as the men's. It's very high standard, as I'm sure you guys would have seen when you've watched them play. It's there's a lot of availability to sort of forge your pathway into in women's sport. You know, people want coverage, and if you're a young journalist looking to get into working in sports journalism, it's a really great area to get involved. And people are very welcoming. So, you know, it's a pathway thing, but it's also just... looking and seeing what's out there and putting the feelers out a bit, I guess.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, Anna, you have previously called footy with Peter Holden?
I would have probably a year or two ago, a little bit of VWFL.
Yeah, and he sent a note to say that he's also broadcasting the match on a live stream on Sunday on girlsplayfooty.com radio. So this means that there's enormous media coverage.
Multifaceted coverage. Yeah. But the commentary team that you're part of, Anna, is an all-women team. That couldn't be a first. It must have happened before.
I think it would have happened before. I've commentated with Joe before, where it's just been the two of us. I guess that's an all-women team, even if there's just two. But I don't think it's too often that you hear of all three members of the panel being female. Yeah. You know, from the main, it's often the main caller where traditionally there's been a male main caller, and then you see women come into special comments. But we've got all three of us that. There'll be callers and special comments and all female. So that's, I can't say for sure whether it's never happened before. But, yeah, it's certainly a great step, I think, though.
But as for the game, the Falcons are the sort of perennial heavyweights and the Creakers are the underdogs?
Yep, absolutely. They got the Diamond Creek one over them, I think it was 2012, but, yeah, Darabin have been the clear standout. So when you watch them play, you can see why. They've got some brilliant footballers, and I think more than anything, when you watch them play, they're just a unit that everyone knows their role and they just go about their business. And they had one loss this year to Melbourne Uni, and since then, I don't know if it sparked them up, but they've just been trailblazing since, and no one can get near them, really.
Do you give the Creakers any show?
Absolutely. It's finals football. They've got some class players of their own. They're missing their ruck, Tiana Ernst, who got injured in the AFL game earlier in the year, which, you know, losing your ruck in any standard of footy is difficult, but I'm sure they've got a capable replacement. But, yeah, it's the grand final, you know. Anything can happen. Whoever comes out of the blocks first usually puts himself in a good spot.
Sorry, Anne. Both teams got very dark colours. Are you one of those people who are going to call for a clash jumper, get the Falcons to wear a white jumper like we saw last night?
Yeah, the Hawthorn one's an interesting one. But, I think often they tend to try and make up for it with different short colours and that sort of thing. They don't seem to have been having any problems so far, but if the league decides...
Well, the league should try that. The league should try that short thing.
It's a great idea, Anna, having one team wear black shorts and the other team wear white shorts.
No, it'll never grit off the ground, Orville.
But they usually wear the, I think, red ones, is my point. But, yeah, if the league-sized clash jumpers is a good move, then that's that. But, you know, I guess... at some levels, it comes affordability and that sort of thing comes into it. So, you know, hopefully that's what I'm going to look at down the track. But, it's not really something. Hopefully it won't affect me too much tomorrow.
And are you going to write a report on the game for AnnaHarringtonMedia.com?
Don't know if I'll be doing that. I tend to more just commentate and let others do the reporting with this. That's where I keep all my work. So if you're looking to check out my portfolio, I guess you can head there.
And interesting about the game is, of course, the opposing captains, Steph and Daisy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They were opposing captains for that Melbourne Footscray game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've almost, aside from when they've played for Victoria, they're just rivals all the time. And they never stop being those two, I guess, figureheads. They're two outstanding leaders and they're both fantastic role models, especially Daisy, who I've had a bit to do with. She's, she's wonderful. And as we know, they're both exceptional players and leaders. And, you know, I think it's probably just good that there's two recognisable figureheads that young girls can look up and know that's Daisy Pearce or that's Steph Chiocci and... Yeah, I want to aspire to that.
And who won the Helen Lambert Medal this year?
The Helen Lambert Medal has not been awarded as yet.
Okay, when is
for this year?
When's that announced?
I think it's September, later this month.
So after the grand final.
Yeah, okay.
I think so, yeah. I don't think they've had the presentation night as yet.
Is there a favourite?
I guess if you're looking at these teams, you've got a few standouts. I haven't been able to watch all the games, but Daisy's always up there. Katie Brennan is an extremely talented forward. There'd probably be a few from around the league, like a lot of the AFL list. Ellie Blackburn's had a good year at Melbourne Uni.
Asta.
There's plenty of talented players, but it's so hard to know who's going to take it out.
Asta O'Connor, she hurt her knee in that match too, didn't she?
Yeah, that's a huge play for Darabin, because what Asta brings is, you know, that physicality around the ball, but also aside from the taps, she can go around and be an extra midfielder, play a kick behind the ball as all good ruckmen can do. So, yeah, that's a big loss for them, but they'll be backing themselves into to be able to cover for her.
Okay. And will you take the first call for the first bounce?
We've got to decide that tomorrow morning, I think, but I wouldn't mind doing that. Don't mind the responsibility, so I'll have a chat to Joe and Shiloh, and we'll work that out tomorrow morning. And
rock, paper, scissors.
Go from there.
A couple of quick updates. Daisy Pearce will be going for her sixth Helen Lambert medal. Is that correct? She won five, has she?
That can't sound too far off.
She's won the previous two. The count's on September.
I know she definitely won last year. She's an exceptional player. And, you know, when you're that midfielder that can play inside and outside, has great skills, both sides of the body, an exceptional leader, you're not going to not notice her. She's perfect for the umpires. She's a superb player and a superb leader. So,
Well, the count is on September the 23rd. Debbie Lee has five medals. Shannon McFerrin has five. Daisy's also on five at the moment. We've just received a message from former grandstand colleague Susie Robinson, who reports that she's heard Joe Wooten call the footy and says she goes really well.
Oh, good.
She absolutely does. She's a superb caller.
Right, well, we better tune in.
You go really well then, Anna.
Yeah. Anna, have a great day tomorrow. Nothing like a grand final. There's no losers on a grand final day, and you have a fantastic day. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
See you, Anna.
Anna Harrington there, who's part of the all-women's calling team for the VWFL Grand Final tomorrow, Darabin versus Diamond Creek. You're with the Cootabeans. Right after this, Greg will be back with more footy songs.
Every hour, ABC News bulletins keep you up to date with breaking news and the top stories affecting Victoria.
ABC News brings you comprehensive, independent, in-depth analysis
and the latest in business, sport and weather throughout your day.
Know the facts. Follow the story.
With Australia's most trusted source of local, national and world news.
ABC News on 774 ABC Melbourne.
You're with the Could Have Been Champions. Jeff, Ian, Billy, Greg and Torch.
That's us, Huck. Thank you. And... Greg,
funny,
as promised, some North and Richmond songs.
North and Richmond songs. And if we're looking for North songs, and we don't have a lot, and we go back to one from earlier in the year. In fact, from Jeff Bonner came the idea of Corregulac, whom we met at Colac. Performing Arts Centre a couple of weeks ago. And Jeff Bonner sent the idea because North songs, well, they're not that mockable like Footscray. But there's something to say. This is an exercise in how many times you can get the word shinbone into a song. Where is that good old-fashioned shinbone kind of play? We want to see you play in that old shinbone away. It's getting harder to see it, baby. So, fellas, don't give us maybe.
Bring back that shinbone spirit. Go get your shinbone spirit. Where is your shinbone spirit? Where's it gone, gone, gone? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I wanna see that shinbone spirit of old days. When them old shinboners played in that shinbone way. Don't wanna sound like a moaner, baby. But fellas, just play like shinboners.
Go get that shinbone spirit. Play with that shinbone spirit.
To find that shinbone play. Cause you can conquer mountains the shinbone way. Shinboners play away, away you don't find every day.
so Petrie swallows Zeebo. What do you say? First comes everybody. Bring back that shinbone spirit. Go get your shinbone spirit. Where is your shinbone spirit? Where's it gone, gone, gone? Because we can't go on. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And what's the official position down at Arden Street on the shinbone spirit at the moment? Like, it was big, and then you weren't meant to mention it. Well, is it back?
I think in finals time, it's time to ramp it up to a
Well, if that doesn't rev them up, nothing will.
Nothing will.
Well,
we'd love to have a tweets or text from anyone who's been down Errol Street this morning. are the shin bones hanging in the butcher shop window?
Some of our listeners won't let go of the Luke Hodge business. And no, here's a brief little ditty about it. You ready, Max? In from the top, boys.
We'll love to have a beer with Hodgie. We laugh and have a joke, and we want to emphasise that despite everything, he's a real top bloke. Their minor indiscretions could happen to you or me. You can take the boy from Colac, but not past Winchelsea. That's where I love to have a beer with Hodgie. We laugh and have a joke, we want to emphasise that despite everything, he's a real top bloke. Their minor indiscretions could happen to you or me. You can take the boy from Colac, but not past Winchelsea.
Rooty-dooty-doo. All right. Now, looking for a Tiger song.
Oh, but where to turn, Greg? There are so many.
Well, you don't want to play with Do Tigers Eat Their Own, Richo? That would just be churlish or negative. You don't. We've done a bit of a lot of people care about Richmond, so we dip back into the annals and we come out with a Lee Schneider offering. My son likes the Tigers, boys. My son was home birthed in our holiday house in Sorrento. La, 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 la. I bought him his Melbourne membership pack right away. La, 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 la. He went to Auskick. Nobody told me that Richmond was hosting that day.
My son likes the Tigers. Why, oh, he's off the D's, he's embarrassed the whole family. How can I face all the chaps down at the MCC? He's given up his Range Rover and Hugo Boss jacket. La, 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 la. He's wearing mockies and he wants to get a tattoo. La, 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 la. He stands in the altar. He reads Inside Football and not the Financial Review. My son likes the Tigers. Why? Drinking Jacob's Creek instead of Grange. It's all been too much for the poor lads down at the Exchange. He takes public transport. He's turned down Closters to go skiing at Dinner Plain. My son likes the Tigers. Why, oh, why the Tigers? Grammar's told me he's more suited to Hala Bree. He's out of the will because he just will not follow the D. He's out of the will because he just will not follow the D.
Tommy Jones. Now, of course, that game
is he doing the entertainment this year?
I wish he was.
No.
Now, That game, of course, is tomorrow afternoon. Now, champs, you're going tonight. What time is the Adelaide Footscray game? Do you remember what time it starts?
No, I just know the committee room dinner starts.
The game starts at 7:20, so you'll need to get there a bit earlier than that. But here's a test for the panel. The game over in Perth, the Dockers are playing the Swans.
Yep.
It starts at 1:20 Australian Western Standard Time. What's that for normal people?
That's a 3:20.
3:20.
You're confident
Australian
about that?
Eastern Standard
okay,
Time.
So so the Dockers Swans game is 3:20 if you want to watch it on the telly.
Yep.
And then that'll leave you enough time, I think, Greg, to get to the MCG.
Well, not for an early dinner, but yes. So to finish this segment, well, let's celebrate the Doggies again, just in case they're not there next week, although many think and
keep saying
hope
that,
they will. Well,
have you been knocking around with a bloke from Droop Street?
So are you confident, are you, Torch?
I think they've got, well, it's an even, it's a line ball game. It's a money chance.
It's a two-horse race, Torch.
Well,
one of them's got to win, well, except if it's a draw.
I think if one of
them
doesn't...
Can't be a draw.
No, that's right, extra time.
Well, thanks for that prognostication, Torch. You've given us something to think about there. All right, boys. Look, this was popular last week. Hello, Doggies. I had a number of people. I was at Altona Bowling Club yesterday for a Altona Footy Club function, and the Hello
and
Doggies
were the bowling club at the football club for their function.
Yes. And out the west there, people noticed the Doggy song from last
week. They like it.
And they want it again, so here we go. You ready, Max?
Yeah. Right.
Everybody, a 1, 2, 3.
Hello, doggies. Yes, hello, doggies. It's so nice to see you here at finals time. You're playing Bute, doggies. Rudy, too. Doggies, you've been growing. You've been showing how you're going strong. I hear your song, doggies. Sing along. Doggies, yes, that old familiar song, Sons of the Scray. So structure up, doggies, dream about that cup. Doggies, doggies look like they're on their way again.
One more time, everybody.
Hello, doggies, yes, hello, doggies. It's so good to see you here at finals time. You're playing Bute. Doggies, Rudy, too. Doggies, you've been growing, you've been showing how you're going strong. I hear your song, doggies, sing along, doggies. Yes, that old familiar song, Sons of the Scray. So, structure up, doggies, dream about that cup, doggies. Doggies look like they're on their way again.
I really mean it.
Doggies look like they're on their way again.
I don't mean maybe.
Doggies look like they're on their way again.
The Torch thinks he says so.
Doggies look like they're on their way again.
Oh, thank you, Greg. You're what it could have been.
As long as they play their role.
You're listening to us on ABC Local Radio. Great to have you with us. However you're hearing us, internet, wireless, whatever it is. Well, as the weeks really stack up now in finals time, seasons are coming to an end for clubs. Careers are coming to an end for players. And what gets said over and over again is it has to end sometime. Ross Glendinning played 230 games over 11 seasons, 9 of them with the Kangas, the last two playing for the West Coast Eagles. Along the way, he picked up a Brownlow medal. Ross Glendinning's career came to an end on the first week of the finals, elimination final week 1988. The Eagles were playing Melbourne out at Waverley in what was a cracking game of football. And Ross joins us on the line. Welcome to the Quatermains, Ross.
Welcome, guys. Thank you for having me. And prognostications, that's a good word on a Saturday morning.
This is the ABC, Ross.
It sure is.
Now, I'll be very careful. So.
Now, how's Perth this morning?
I think Perth's pretty happy at the moment, guys, because, well, half of Perth probably, with the West Coast doing so very well last night, and now we're on a pretty daggy day in Perth. We're looking forward to see what Fremantle can do this afternoon against Sydney, guys.
Yeah, and we're talking about players' careers coming to an end. Certainly there's probably a few going to be playing this afternoon that are in that same boat that you were in on elimination final day in 1988.
seems such a long time ago. You bring it up, brings that from memories. And I think, like anyone, whether it be whatever career you're in, sometimes it does actually stop. But I think once you know you're finished and the time comes and you make that decision and you realise 5, 10 or 15 years later that it's the right decision, because often it's just because you can't keep going and play the way you want to play. Your mind's willing, your body's not able, so decisions made. And now I'm actually nearing 60, and I'm just down at the park with my grandson, young Lennox John, just having a swing in the park, and it's a beautiful time of life, guys.
Who does he barrack for, Ross?
Well, he's a little bit of blue and white, a little bit of blue and gold, so he's got a foot in both camps at the moment. two of my daughters were born in Melbourne, so they were Kangaroo supporters, and my third daughter born in Perth, so this is the son of my second daughter, so I don't really care. He's a healthy young boy.
Is that the only grandchild you've got, Ross?
No, I've actually got a second one to the same daughter, Lauren, so Lenny's now got a little sister, Evie. Kate is only 2 weeks old, so as I say, Gary and I just proud of a couple of grandkids. It's wonderful.
Has the two-year-old's bassinet been draped in colours?
For a girl, mate, it's probably mainly pink. So I'm not sure what team we're pink at the moment. The umpires wore it occasionally, didn't they?
They did.
I'm not sure any teams wearing pink, guys.
Well, it might be appropriate, since you were the umpire's friend. They gave you the votes to win the 1983 Brownlow, Ross.
Yes, well, I was very lucky that day because there were a couple of other players in Maurice Rioli and Simon Madden and Terry Wallace and Terry Danner who would have been absolutely worthy winners. It's one of those things you do reflect on, and I must admit, when Matthew Pittis won it last year for West Coast, it was a wonderful win. And look, he may go back to back, guys. He may very well do it again.
No one would think it wasn't worthy if he did.
And that makes it a pretty impressive win by the Eagles last night without Pittis.
Well, it's funny, because before the game, there was real concern because Pittis just hurt a little bit, apparently, at the last minute of the game before against St Kilda. So there was a concern that with the dominance that the Hawthorn midfield can have, that it might actually detract from what the West Coast boys could do. But wonderfully done by those that come in and just carried the load. And I think that's probably been the greatest strength that Adam Simpson's brought to West Coast, is that it's not about one player or two players, guys. It's about the whole team. And look, I'm as probably surprised as a lot with how well the team's cope without Mitch Brown and Eric McKenzie. And then also with McGovern being missing for a while. But as we've all spoken about before, guys, I'm sure you would have mentioned it, young Jeremy McGovern in that sort of situation, stepped up, and he's some sort of player, guys, isn't he, after about only 23 games.
And they've got a lot of experience, haven't they, Ross? They've got to have 10, 12 players who played 100 games.
Spot on. And there's still, I think Simo said after the game, we're still a relatively young team, but there's a lot of wiser heads for around 24 and 25 year olds, which is, look, it just takes time to get that experience, but they're showing a great maturity. And I think one of the ones that's probably been a great example of that is Sherrod Wellingham.
Yes.
Brought over from Collingwood as a premiership player, but his first 2 years, as he said in the paper article during the week, have been not so great, but this year has played so well and got re-signed, guys, on the basis that, can I say it this way, he's really pulled his digit out, and he's given the team what we actually got him over here for. So he's been a really good player this year.
I take you back to 1978. I mean, the Kangaroos had just won the premiership in 77, and you arrive at North. How did you get over here? And was there a feeling around the club that you were still in an era where you could win more premiership?
Look, I was lucky enough to get over there. It was still at a time, guys, where you could, if you like, be approached by a VFL club, and Form 4s weren't still around. It was a matter of you had a choice of which team you went to, and I was lucky enough to be approached by Richmond, and then South Melbourne and North Melbourne, and I just found that the Kangaroos management team, Ron Joseph, David Robin, the like, Alan Ayler, who was present at the time, were just so impressive, guys, and I thought, well, they flew us over for the 1975 Grand Final, Mum and Dad and myself, and I was only 18 at the time, and what they did to impress us in a very family-oriented way would just seal the deal, so I'm still very proud of the fact that I can walk into North Melbourne now, guys, and it's like a second home. It's a wonderful place, so yeah, I've got my opportunity to play with them, and in the first year, played in a grand final against Michael Moncrief. He hit the first goal of the game, and I thought, gee whiz, I've got a shovel big enough to dig a big enough hole to dive in the first 3 minutes. And Lee Matthews ran past me and said a few words, which I can't repeat. And there's 100,000 people there, guys, on a sunny day, and tailing hats, coloured tailing hats were the order of that era. And they bounced the ball, do you think I could see it? And all of a sudden my opponent's got it and he's kicked the goal. You learn very quickly, guys, you learn very quickly.
And as you say, it's all over very quickly too, because 10 years later you were playing your last game in that final at Waverley, and it must be mentioned that in that match, your last game, you kicked 5-3, not a bad note to finish on. Did you know going into the game it was going to be your last game? You lost?
I hope it doesn't sound terrible, guys, but I thought, well, I'm just about done here, and it would have been wonderful to win, but that very hairy monster in Gary Lyon, the winning goal for Melbourne, who's only a young fellow, and guys, to be quite honest, I thought if we had have won that game, we wouldn't have gone much further. I know a lot of the young kids that were playing at the time, Mainwaring, Renstead, Chrissy Lewis, Ashenko. If we had had one more game, I reckon we might have got rolled over pretty easily. So the loss is hard to take, but we made a final, and I think it was a great step forward for the whole club.
But did you know you were going to finish up?
Oh, sorry, to answer the question, I did. I had a little bit of trouble with hamstrings. Just started becoming a bit of a niggle, and I started having to play against players like Gary Pert, Chris Langford, who were taller, quicker, stronger. And you just go, look, you're only going to actually make a bit of a gig yourself, so it's time to hang up the boots, and that's what we did. I didn't regret it at once, guys. Not once.
Ross, take us into the selection rooms. You were chairman of selectors at Frio. How difficult is it to find a chord and get team balance in those meetings?
In terms of me being at Fremantle?
Yeah.
Well, I was actually there. I was the only non-sort of full-time selector at the time. So, yeah, I had a title as chairman of selectors, but I was trying to get a balance as someone who wasn't there the whole time and have a perspective of not being so entrenched in what was happening on the club day to day. And look, it's not easy because you do get favourites. You do get people you think better players than others. It becomes personalities. It becomes how people handle themselves. And in that early time at Fremantle, so there were a few blokes who were a bit ratbaggy, and the culture wasn't great. And they know now, some of those guys who are now 40 years of age, they knew that at that stage they probably hadn't committed themselves as much as possible. So to try and bring what I'd learned at North Melbourne and then in the early years at West Coast was difficult. But I actually only spoke to someone like Shawnee Mack and Jason Norris yesterday, and now they go, look, we understand what you're trying to say. And it's difficult to tell you, and you guys would know, with kids and kids of 18, 19, 20 years of age, they're quite headstrong, and they just want to have a bit of fun. They want to play footy, but they don't realise you need another commitment. And these days, guys, when the average career is only 4.5 years, everyone thinks everyone plays 200 games or plays for 10 years. It doesn't happen that way. So when the opportunity comes, guys, you've got to take it.
Ross, thank you so much. I think you've got a headstrong one there on the swings that you need to go and pay attention to.
He's actually just running towards the water. So,
we'll let you go.
I'm not sure I want to dive in, but thanks, guys.
We'll let you go and look after Lennox. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
And I've still got my wind shedder from the 80s, so it could have been wind shedder. It's a blue one, so you guys are absolutely legends, and you still are. So
does it still fit, Ross?
It's a little bit large.
Good on you, Ross.
Great. Thanks a lot, Ross. Ross Glendinning, 230 games in a Brownlow medal.
He's a good player.
He was. And you see that in 11 seasons. He hardly missed a game this run. He had a terrific run, 20, averaging 20 games a year.
And he would have been playing on some decent players.
Every week. With the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio, it's time for me to go round the panel now. Yep. I want to find out what everyone has learned today. Yep. First up, it's Billy Baxter. Billy, I want to know what you learned today.
Well, I learned that Shannon McFerrin, Daisy Pearce and Debbie Lee have each won 5 Helen Lambert medals. And Daisy this year might go to the head of the line with 6.
Mm. I'm going out into the booth now, and Andy Belairs, I want to know what you learned today.
Well, I've got one. I want to teach you something. My hometown of Donald are playing in a preliminary final today in the North Central Football League against St Arnett. This is after not winning a game all season last year. So come on, the mighty Royal Blues.
Well, there's a turnaround.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got my old Donald Footy Club socks on. Not very used. I didn't get many games. But, yeah, go. Yeah. Come on, the Royal Blues. Yeah.
Who's already in the grand final?
Charlton.
Right. Mm. Okay. Are they a rival?
Yeah. They're all rivals.
Yeah. They might
get teaser bags.
Sundana's probably more of a traditional rival, but Charlton, you know, they're all within a half hour of Donald. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, come on the Royal Blues.
Okay, Champy, what did you learn today?
Talk about being within half an hour. The Woomalang Lascelles catchment area, in the words of the president, goes, quote, to the other side of Patchewalik. It sounds like a tall story from the bush.
Yes. Well, actually, mine's an adjunct to that because I learnt that it's more than 600K round trip from Woomalang to Hay.
Playing in the same league as them didn't actually appeal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Ian Cover, what did you learn today?
I learnt today that Donald Royal Blues are in a Premier Final after not winning a game last year.
I was shocked to find out today that in the early days of the Fremantle Dockers, when Ross Glendinning served on the selection committee, that there were a couple of rat bags on the list.
And I immediately thought of Shawnee Mac, and sure enough, his name came up.
I was shocked to hear that, but there you go.
And also, can we quickly just say, we learnt something last weekend too. Mm. We learnt and we saw for ourselves that the Durham Ox sits on top of the pole at Durham Ox. And if you go to our Facebook page, you can see a little video of us in front of the Durham Ox.
But someone needs to fix the light.
Yeah, the light's not shining on it properly.
It's broken. It doesn't shine on it properly. So someone needs to get onto that.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, quick.
We've got to move on here. It's finals time. There's so much news flying in every direction in football. Only one place to go, the news desk of Outside Football. Sam the Sub is kind enough to join us every Saturday morning. Morning, Sam.
Yes, I am, gentlemen.
Yes. How are you today?
Sam,
yes,
I am.
Yes, not bad. Thanks, Ian. Flying solo here at the moment in the office.
A listener asked a question as to whether you're doing some moonlighting at the age.
Yeah, I do a bit of work there from time to time. How's that come to light, Ian?
Well, apparently in their online edition today, there's a heading that says, Shock Jocks Rocky Hockey Question.
Yeah, that's one of mine.
It had your trademark all over it. Jason picked that up.
Keep it on the down low, though, Ian, because I'm just getting a little bit of...
A mumble?
In the back pocket.
Getting a little mumble?
A bit of a mumble, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Sam, did you have anybody over in Perth at CB Echo last night for the game?
Yes, we had a correspondent over there. Carolyn Sheen was there.
Yeah.
Sociable Football Triumphs is the headline.
Yeah.
And currently I'm just having to move out of the way because I've got three cadet journalists here on their hands and knees on the floor looking in every corner.
What for?
Apostrophes, Ian.
Oh, shit.
So I've set them to work. Yeah. Got to spend an hour on the floor.
Finding the apostrophes.
Yes, and a bit of fun. Chloe Quayle has written a colour piece here today. She's gone through all the teams in the... finals and has done a graph or a chart regarding the correlation between the height of a player and whether or not they're in a relationship.
What?
So that's a bit of fun. It's titled, It's Better to Have Loved a Short Than Never to Have Loved a Tall.
Okay. Oh, I got a footy twist.
Yeah, so that's it. And, of course... what's the date today?
12th.
12th.
About just a shy of halfway through, can't remember, September. So I'm going to have to nick off and have a jar or two.
Can't remember September.
But the paper's out there, the outside paper. We're on the outside looking in. We hope you'll join us.
Yeah,
we will.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Sam. It's
talk to you next week.
Yeah,
great,
good on
great
you,
to have you with us every week. Sam the Sub.
What?
I was just talking to a cadet.
Oh, okay.
We'll look again.
Hey, you know something else, Sam, just before you go?
Yeah, Ian?
There's people out there hoping Trav can kick a goal.
Yeah.
Well, you ought to get onto that.
Is that hoping or hoping with a G on the
end? Sorry. Yeah, but while they're looking for apostrophes, look for a few G's as well.
Yes, a few have dropped.
Yeah.
Subject to the laws of gravity, G's.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sam. Great to talk to Sam.
I don't think he's coping too well with the Pies not being in the finals.
No, that's right.
Well, yeah, puts pressure on.
Oh, puts a dint in circulation.
No doubt about it. All right. We've got to move on because I can see the whole grandstand team just luxuriating out there in the comfy chairs. They're waiting to get into the studio.
Have they been on the red eye back from Perth?
Yeah, look at them out there.
Bluey McKenna's out there. Now, he was composed in the box.
He was, and Mark McClure's looking very composed.
Yeah.
They'll be in the studio in a minute, so which means we need to get a move on. It's time for Kudamine's finals footy talk back.
It is.
First of 2015. We've got a very full board of calls, Torch. Let's get a move on. We'll go to the first caller straight away. First caller now on Kudamine's finals footy talk back. Go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
Hello.
So is my talk to Mr. Ngay, please?
You're talking to him. Who's calling, please?
Lance.
And where are you calling from, Lance?
Yeah, I'm calling from home, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And what area do you live in, Lance? What area?
At the bungalow, the back.
All right. You follow the football, Lance?
In Lara.
Good, thank you.
I read in the paper that Bernie Vince won the Brownlow Medal for Melbourne.
Yeah, well, it's the Bluey Truscott Medal, I think it is.
Yeah.
And
who won the one for Geelong?
Good question. I haven't read that one yet, so I can't tell you, Lance.
I don't know that they've counted the votes.
They might not have done it yet
for the Geelong.
No, I'll ask Ian Cover. He's a Geelong man.
Yeah, it's on Thursday, October.
Hello, Mr. Cover.
Yes, it's on the Thursday after the grand final.
Are you going?
Yes.
Please, may I come with you? Please.
You wait on the Lara station, and I'll wave to you as we come through.
You said that last year, and I waited for 2.5 weeks.
Oh, my apologies, Lance.
He's not the first person to be waiting at Lara and didn't get picked up.
Why don't we hand you back to our producer?
But I believe you, so I will be there.
I'll come and have a word to you off air.
Yeah, look, surely you can organise something for the Geelong PNF. Let's go to the next caller now. It's finals time and lots of footy to talk. Next caller, you're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Torch.
Oh, who's calling, please?
It's Christoph here.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Clement. Well, actually, I'm just driving down East Parade through Mount Lawley. I'm going to a braai at a friend of mine's place.
All right, okay.
Yes.
Yes, and what does that entail?
Oh, we get the boars out and we sizzle them up and we have a lovely braai. I wanted to pull you up on a few things, George.
Yep.
You will notice, you probably don't notice with your Eastern State bias, but you probably noticed that the glorious West Coast Eagles had a big win last night.
Yes, I did. I watched the game on the television.
Well, all I can say to you is I told you so, George. I've been telling you for years how good the West Coast are, and you've been poo-pooing me the whole time. It just goes to show that you cannot be trusted, George.
Okay,
so I'm going to stop listening to you because you cannot be trusted.
Okay, right. Well, that's one way to celebrate a big win.
Well, have a braai. There'll be plenty of smoke hanging over Mount Lawley today.
I don't know whether the neighbours will appreciate that.
We'll go to the next caller now on Kudamine's Footy Talk Back. Hello, go ahead, please.
Hello.
We want him back.
Oh, who's calling, please?
Well, when's he coming back?
Well, I don't know, but could you...
Oh, am I on? Sorry.
Yeah, could you identify yourself,
yes,
please?
Yes, it's Barry here.
And calling from?
I'm calling from the Barossa Valley.
Yeah. Oh, you're not coming over for the big game in Melbourne tonight, Barry?
No.
Oh, what? That's a pity.
Well, it is for you. We want him back.
Who's he?
Bernard.
Oh, Bernie Vince.
Bernard.
Yes, Bernard.
Well, he goes over there and he wins some...
He won a medal.
A medal.
But why did you give him away in the first place?
We had
place?
Nothing to do with it. In fact, Kim and I at Chateau Bodega were in the process of bringing out a Vince Rouge.
Oh, really? Mm. Oh, that sounds very nice.
In his honour, next thing he went to Melbourne.
Yes, that's right.
Tell him we want him back.
All right, okay.
He can have as many medals as he likes off our wine bottles.
He comes from over your way, Barry, being York Peninsula.
I don't think Barry has much to do with the York Peninsula.
Well, it's near the...
Is that the one that sings the country song?
Yes, that's Greg you're talking to, Barry.
Yes.
He's from Adelaide as well.
He's in Melbourne as well.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
We've got nothing for him.
He's another one you let go.
Anything else, Barry?
Just bring Bernard back.
Okay, we will.
Okay, get that message loud and clear. They'd like Bernie back at the Crows.
He'd be handy tonight, wouldn't he?
Mm. Who'd you put him on, Torch? Who would you line him up?
He's got
a few big scalps.
He might
in
run
midfield.
With Lukey Dowhouse. Mm. He could do that.
All Australian.
Yeah.
Next caller, it's Kudamine's Footy Talk. Back, go ahead, please.
Hello.
Oh, g'day, Torch.
Oh, who's this calling?
It's Danny.
Danny, calling from?
I'm in Droop Street in Footscray.
And looking forward to the big game?
Oh, I just wish it was all over. I've got a really bad feeling about it.
Oh, aren't you feeling confident?
I mean, sure, we got there. We just snuck in. But, geez, if we had some of the players we've lost over the years.
Right.
If we still had Sean Higgins, he'll towel us up.
Yeah, anybody else?
We had Liam Jones. We'd win no matter what. Jason Tutt.
Yes.
There's a player.
Yes.
We just hadn't to let him go.
Well, I mean, they've been very good at replacing those players.
You going to the game, Danny?
No, I don't think so. No, I might go, but I'll probably leave by halftime. One thing I can say to you, Torch, further up the ladder you go, the longer it is, the slide back down again.
Oh, okay, Danny. All right. Well, good luck anyway to the Bulldogs. We're right behind you. Okay.
We'll go to the next caller. It's finals footy here on the Could Have Been Champions. Your chance to talk to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, dear.
Who's calling, please?
It's Curly, dear.
And where are you calling from, Pearl?
I've just been having a little giggle at your program.
Oh, really? That's very nice of you.
Very funny indeed.
Yeah. And you're still down on the peninsula,
I'm
are
on
you?
On the peninsula, dear, yes. I was just listening to you, and it was so funny. Nicknames can be funny things, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone called Bloomer before.
A Bloomer?
You were talking about the fellow Kenner, and you said he was out there waiting to come on or something.
Oh, Bluey McKenna.
You said Bloomer Kenner. I've never heard a nickname referring to a pair of underpants before. That struck me as quite funny.
Okay, well, there's a
I've been giggling along here for a little while now, and I thought I had to ring you up just to share that.
Oh, thank you, Phil.
Well, I listen to your radio show quite often, and I do have a chuckle here and there. A lot of it goes over my head, and I still can't determine which voice it belongs to, because they all sound the same, except one gentleman sings. So
he does, that's right, that's
his
great.
His voice is quite different, but when he talks, then I still find it amusing. And
okay,
I think
thank you,
that,
Phil.
That is so funny, and if you talk to Mr. Kenner, tell him that I wouldn't call him Bloomer because I wouldn't have the courage to call someone a pair of underpants.
Okay, thank you, Phil.
That tickles my fancy.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. That's all the calls we've got time for.
No.
We're racing up to the top of the clock. We've got to cross to the guru. Yes, he's there.
Guru Bob, are you there?
Yes, guru is ready for you.
And where are we talking to you from?
Well, at the temple,
yes.
Before we get on to the football,
yes,
we're back from the meditation retreat.
Oh, how did it go?
Well, the Supreme Master arrested 9 monks.
Oh, did he?
Just because they annoy him.
Yes.
And he told the young monks in the meditation lesson, he said to them, look, if you fellas can't sit still and empty your minds for 20 minutes, he said, I'll fair dinkum spew up. Now, onto the football.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, Bogart Law is the celebrity special guest tipster.
He seems to be doing a lot of work down there.
Yeah, we got to use him up while we can.
Yes.
He goes for the Dogs.
Right.
And for Frio.
Yes.
And for Richmond.
Oh, the Tigers.
And Bogart Law has also been looking after Luke Hodge down at the temple.
Oh, really?
This week.
Yeah, what did he have to do with him?
Well, Luke Hodge came for a visit.
Yes.
And the Supreme Master told Luke Hodge, he said, you can take the boy out of Colac, but you should always use the back roads. And here's an old saying for Luke.
Yes.
And this is from my book. It's not an observation. It's a criticism. And it says in there. It says, money cannot buy happiness, but it can buy a lot of wine. And you can work with that until happiness comes along. Think about that, Torch.
We are thinking about it.
Did he go for anyone?
Yes, yeah, so he went for the Tigers.
Yeah.
And what about the other game?
Frio.
Yeah, finals.
And the other game?
Dogs.
Finals level wisdom there from the guru. Yeah.
He's really stuck his neck out this week.
Just going with all the favourites I read in the paper.
Oh, thanks, guru. I thought we said goodbye to you.
Did he go for the Eagles last night?
He would have. Wouldn't he?
He's still there, Guru.
He might have liked that Hawthorn jumper, actually.
No, I've gone now.
That's the end of the morning. That's the end of this edition of the Could Have Been Champions. It's time to say goodbye to our producer and engineer, Andrew Billiers. Good morning to you. Billy Baxter.
Enjoy your football.
Ian Cover.
Go Cats next year.
Torch McGee.
Go the Bloods this afternoon.
Yeah. Greg Champion.
Come on the Crowies.
It's good morning from me,
Billy,
Jeff Richardson.
Billy, Chris Scott's out there.
Stay tuned now because Grandstand is coming right up.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's him? It might be, his brother might be standing in for him.
He looks nice. We'll go and talk to him. We'll ask him how the Cats are going to go next year.